Chapter 9, Reptilians, Priestesses, and Strange Genes. The Atlanteans did not let go of their hatred toward their enemies. Periodically, they continued seeking them in hope of exacting vengeance. They also continued their genetic experiments. However, this had to be done in a more limited manner because their technical hardware had been largely destroyed in the wars. They also studied why things had gone so wrong for themselves since their arrival and first experiments. They decided that their main error was the experimentation on Homo sapiens, or also Erectus, Cro-Magnon, etc., for it was certainly that which brought them problems. But humans were not the only life forms on the Earth, so it was decided that experiments would be made on animal DNA instead. They began looking to the fauna, making genetic tests on certain animals. It was found that the DNA of the reptiles was the most suitable for their purposes. The alien masters then crossed their own DNA with that of certain reptiles, and it is from this that the reptilian, dragon, beings of the storybooks were born. And on Earth shall be monsters, a generation of dragons of men and likewise of serpents. Clement, Apocalyptic Fragment. In the Babylonian legend of creation, we read, men with bodies of birds of the deserts, human beings with the faces of ravens, these the gods created, and in the earth the gods created for them a dwelling. In the midst of the earth they grew up and became great, and increased in number. Atlantis researcher Andrew Collins provides the story of Amram, father of the lawgiver Moses, who had a personal encounter with such beings or their masters. I saw watchers in my vision, the dream vision. Two men were fighting over me, saying, and holding a great contest over me. I asked them, who are you, that you are thus empowered over me? They answered me, we have been empowered and rule over all mankind. They said to me, which of us do you choose to rule you? I raised my eyes and looked. One of them was terrifying in his appearance, like a serpent, his cloak many-colored yet very dark. And I looked again, and, in his appearance, his visage like a viper, and wearing, exceedingly, and all his eyes. The reptilians did indeed serve their masters well. They were part alien, part reptile, with no human DNA at all. Some, like their creators, looked entirely humanoid. Others were distinctly reptoid. They operated from the limbic mode of consciousness and possessed the physical endurance and strength, not to mention the guile, of the humble earth reptile. From these beings, we inherit the term cold-blooded evil. The reptilians preferred to live beneath the ground or in dark caverns, their needs being seen to by other genetic mutants or even by compliant atoms who still remained in the ignorant state. They periodically demanded live sacrifices to be made to them and would go in search of the enemies of their masters. Some of these genetic creations had wings, others were polymorphic. So, we have it contained and recited in most of the myths that the archetypal hero comes into conflict with a beast, a great serpent, or hybrid demon. Their combat is the staple method of proving prowess. It became a custom that when a prospective hero did overcome one of the dragons, that they would wear the symbol of the serpent on their heraldic shield or banner, in the same manner as the native Indians collected and wore human scalps. The hero was then also considered blooded. Many of the demeaning hazing rituals of so-called upperclassmen are throwbacks to this concept. When the moral sons of the serpents in their diasporas came upon a welcoming tribe or a suitable place to reside, they set up their base. It is from these regions that we find traces of great advancement, amid later primitivism. At these new locations, one of the most important of which was Ireland, Ari Land, the sons of the serpent would also continue their genetic studies and work. They had fixed the Adamic people so that they would be intelligent and creative. They also made it possible for the Eves to reproduce sexually. This was primarily to pacify the normal urges of the now freed male Adams. And it is known that members of the Sons of the Serpent would mate with the Eves, producing exceptional progeny. The euphemism that has come down to describe a female reserved for crossing with part alien being was virgin. The offspring of these relations were referred to as being a virgin birth. Other terms which imply genetics are blood, as in blood of the lamb, seed, as in seed of David, and immaculate, as in the immaculate conception. This latter term connotes progeny who were created genetically, rather than sexually. Properly, it was to designate that they were special children, the offspring of the gods. Eventually, the sons of the serpents interacted with human women in the normal sexual manner. The progeny of these conceptions were always regarded with awe and even fear. For instance, In the book of Enoch, we read of the birth of Lamech's strange son. I have begotten a strange son. He is not like an ordinary human being, but looks like the children of the angels of heaven to me. His form is different and he is not like us. It does not seem to me that he is of me but of the angels. Behold, I thought then within my heart that conception was due to the watchers and the holy ones, and the Nephilim, and my heart was troubled within me because of this child. Lamech's father, Methuselah, eventually consults the prophet Enoch about the strange grandchild. The latter says to the concerned grandfather, "This child which is born to you shall survive on the earth, and his sons shall be saved with him. When all mankind who are on the earth die, he shall be safe, and this posterity shall beget on the earth giants, not spiritual, but carnal. Now therefore inform thy son Lamech that he who is born is his child in truth, and he shall call his name Noah, for he shall be to you a survivor." In his work called Metamorphoses or the Golden Ass, we read about the god Apollo saying strange words regarding the birth of the goddess Psyche. On some high crag, O king, set forth the maid, in all the pomp of funeral robes arrayed, hope for no bridegroom born of mortal seed, but fierce and wild and of the dragon's breed. There is even some evidence of cloning experiments in the Bible, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made a woman, and brought her unto the man, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Genesis 2:21. From almost the first genetic experiments, there were hardly any fully human beings alive on Earth because the pre-visitation Ingus and Neanderthals were mostly annihilated. Apart from a small contingent kept alive to perform the most menial and labor-intensive tasks such as building and mining, these beings were treated in an appalling manner. Eventually, apart from some intriguing references to all Earth existences, there would be only full alien and part alien, part human DNA in the Earth's humanoid species. The Eves who were receptive to the counsel of the sons of the serpent in the garden became the first that were awakened and exalted by their more advanced cousins. They were initiated into the secrets of technology. The word secret comes from secretion, meaning fluid of the body, particularly the female menstrual fluids. The concept and phenomenon of the Holy Grail comes from the mysteries of the female cults after their residency with intuition from the sons of the serpent. It is from this exodus to Lemuria that we have the great female cults. When females were chief initiators, oracles, and keepers of the mysteries, which is recorded even in the Arthurian romances of later ages, Irish and Celtic myth is full of anecdotes about the warrior queens who command great magical abilities. That this was changed in historical times is due to the supremacy of the evil masters again taking control of civic and cultural events. The hybrid progeny of the original fully alien masters could also eventually reproduce both sexually and genetically. Many British and European royal dynasties owe their existence to this, as a close study of their symbolism, deeds, and history reveals. This is the origin of the so-called Dragon Court, or Dragon Bloodlines, Merovingian, Carolingian, Plantagenet, Stuart, Habsburg, Hanoverian, Guise, Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, Savoy, Battenberg, and Guelph, Windsor, etc. The ubiquitous walking on the long red carpet or standing on the red square and cutting the red tape are maintained as cryptic references to this bloodline. The serpents had great physical strength and stature and could form many hundreds of years, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak, Deuteronomy 9:2. The Arabian historians spoke of the strange Adites. They were depicted as men of gigantic stature, their strength was equal to their size, and they easily moved great blocks of stone. Lenormant and Chevalier, Ancient History of the East, Volume 2. In July 1877, four prospectors moved through along the hills of Spring Valley near Eureka, Nevada, using their picks. The prospectors soon chipped out human legs and foot bones that had been encased in solid quartzite, from knee to heel. The bone was 39 inches long. Charles Berlitz, World of the Odd and the Awesome. A human skeleton 17 feet tall was discovered at Gargan in the Philippines, from Matrix 2 by Valdemar Valerian. When one of these curious beings finally passed on, the survivors would erect a great monument in their honor. We know these structures as the Cyclopean temples that are found in places of ancient civilization. These edifices are not tombs, but cenotaphs. They are biographies in stone. Their amazing harmonic and geometrical properties were encoded therein, as a means of commemoration to the life and acts of the great being in whose honor the building was erected. The death of one of the original negative aliens was attended by similar rituals. The places on Earth where one of these original aliens were lay became a zone that later experienced great upheaval and conflict, like Northern Ireland and Palestine. For example, scientists and biologists in the service and pay of the elders of Atlantis have been continually desecrating these sacred temples. Many have paid with their lives, as there are powerful apotropaic spells working around the structures. But the object is to extract DNA samples from the mummies to further their present nefarious necromantic experiments. The serpents possess great knowledge of geomancy and constructed their sites and cities with precision. The Nazca lines in Peru and the Glastonbury and Kingston zodiacs are evidence of this knowledge. The secret fraternities have preserved these geometric secrets for many centuries. Later, as the Atlantean sorcerers gained power again and were successful in infiltrating a culture established by their humane science, they would instigate the atrocity of human sacrifice. Appearing and presenting themselves as the gods of the fathers, they would seduce and then ritually slaughter countless thousands. The unfortunate victims would not resist, as they were under the impression that the gods were angry with them for some disobedience. It may have been that some form of mind control, probably incorporating soporific narcotics, was also employed in this. All over the world, we read of the scenario of a once exalted civilization suddenly descending into debauchery and bloodlust, whereas we rarely hear or read of the reverse taking place. As mentioned above, the phenomena of evil came into the world and into the consciousness of humankind via genetic manipulation. From that moment, every human being had to deal with an inner dichotomy, had to decide which proclivity to choose, the human or the alien. This is the choice we are each still making. The good feel disturbed by the negativity in their natures and have striven to curb it. The evil feel is disturbed by their conscience and seek to suppress it in a variety of ways. And what goes on within the individual manifests collectively. The inner predicament has its environmental concomitant. The post-diluvian empires, nations, and states are designed from the Atlantean pattern. All the abhorrent phenomena that plagues earthly life today have their origins in these times. After the second deluge, pole shift, the roles of the genders changed. The proclivities of the male became exalted and women slowly suffered the removal of their power and status. Aggression, violence, and conquest became dominant. Meat eating, unheard of in the pre-diluvian epoch, was necessary during the times of tribulation and was later maintained. Class divisions were established, slavery was again promoted, blood sacrifice compelled, carnality indulged in, and the subjugation of nature exalted into a veritable religion. Coming down from these times, commensurate with the artificial municipal life, were the vast mind control strategies that are still today in evidence. The Urantia book and others provide a commentary on the life of humankind in the post-diluvian epoch, acquired inheritance, cities and industry, domestication of animals, practical family organization, male at the head, racial and cultural separatism, strong executive head, military strength, conquest and territorialism and enslavement of foreigners. Urantia book. States are as the men, they grow out of human characters. Plato. Perhaps we will never fully understand the mystery of that original mutation from egalitarian to state society. Certainly no standard explanations are adequate. David Watson, The Pathology of Civilization. In individuals, insanity is rare, but in groups, parties, nations and epochs it is the rule. Friedrich Nietzsche.